Good evening, Pittsburgh. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late-night talk show, coming to you from the Center for Media Innovation at Point Park University in beautiful downtown Pittsburgh. Visit us at bergvivant.com for more on this interview and our complete archives in the Vivant Vault, as well as how you can help support our program and Pittsburgh's vibrant cultural landscape.
Eric Faring, opera singer, tenor, as a matter of fact, as my notes say. What does that mean?
Oh, tenor just means he likes to sing a little bit higher than, you know, perhaps a normal man might.
Is it because you were just born that way?
Yes, I was totally born that way.
You don't get to choose?
Generally, you don't get to choose. Your path is sort of, you know, illuminated for you, you know.
Now, are there people that can choose, that can sing both, or?
There are some sort of people out there that are sort of the exception to the norm, and they sort of have a flexibility about them that they can jump from one to the other. But generally, you sort of choose one and try to stick with it.
Now, about path being chosen, etc., you are going to be debuting a world premiere musical, Ashes and Snow, at Pittsburgh Opera. And it is a one-man opera, which is very interesting, and we'll talk about that. That's kind of a big deal. And you appear to me to be a young gentleman. So when did you first discover you had a talent for singing and you wanted to pursue this?
Well, I suppose I was singing, you know, since I was young. I was doing lots of musical theater, as, you know, most young people sort of do, going to community theater and doing the productions in high school. But I didn't start singing opera or sort of classical music till late high school and really into undergrad. And then sort of from there it unfolded. So
it seems like the two roads diverged in a yellow wood and I took the road less traveled by. So what steered you towards opera and classical music rather than musical theater?
You know, when I sing, I first sang my first German art song or my first classical English art song. My voice just sort of fit into it better than sort of the musical theater music did. And, you know, there's like sort of a dancing skill level you have to meet for musical theater, and I was quite below that.
There really is not a lot of dancing in opera.
Generally not. Not beyond waltzing.
Okay. And now, is that because in order to sing in that manner, it's tough to move at the same time?
Yeah, it's difficult. Okay. In the last opera, we had to run while we sang, and that was a bit challenging.
What cruel dictator came up with that idea? To put you all through.
I know, yeah. Our last production of The Long Walk, based on sort of a Iraq war veteran's story, lots of running while singing.
People don't realize how tough opera is. You know, and we, you know, cover a lot of theater here in Berg Vivant, but to me, opera is a completely different art form than, like, traditional theater or a musical or a straight play. I mean, so much goes into that yeah. people don't realize. And I remember hearing stories of women that would wear, I don't know what you call it, like a double corset, because they would lose so much weight during the performance that, like, I mean, you guys are like killing it out there, man. I mean, whew.
Definitely vocal. I mean, we call ourselves vocal athletes, or at least we sort of, you know, everything has to be in line. You have to be eating well. You have to be training. You have to be keeping your body fit. Absolutely.
Sounds like hell to me. Bless you, man.
I just want a cheeseburger.
You have earned this, which is, again, starring in a world premiere opera, Ashes and Snow. This is a one-man opera. I mean, mm-hmm. of course, you have musicians that are playing, but as far as the vocal performance, it is you.
Yes.
For what, like 70 minutes?
Yeah, 70
straight.
Or 80 minutes, yep.
This is unusual, I think, for opera, right?
100% unusual. I can't say I know another one-person opera that comes to mind. It's definitely a big undertaking. I just came from rehearsal, and I'm sort of exhausted. It's kind of shocking how tough it is to be the only one on stage that anyone is ever paying attention to.
Wow. So what, Ashes and Snow, it sounds a lot like what Pittsburgh looks like right now, but what is this opera about?
Sure, so Ashes and Snow is based on a song cycle called Winterreise, which is a German song cycle. Is very famous by Schubert, and it was based on some German poetry, beautiful poetry by Wilhelm Müller.
Nicely pronounced. I appreciate that little dramatic effect.
Yeah. And this is an English adaptation, loose English adaptation of those texts. And Ashes and Snow is sort of a story that everyone can understand. It's just about love and the loss of love and someone's sort of journey through the acceptance, the denial, the reminiscing, the bitterness. And we get to sort of watch this guy unfold that story for himself in this sort of nasty motel room.
So this is like a cool, hip, new opera,
it,
right?
It is totally cool and hip. Obviously, you know, I'm in it, so there's reason to come.
Oh, there we go.
But really, you know, it's the orchestra is an electric guitar, a trumpet, a keyboard, synthesizer, and sort of electronica soundscapes. You wouldn't really put any of that together with an opera.
Jesus Christ Superstar, maybe, but yeah, exactly. That's about it.
Yeah, Jesus Christ Superstar meets one-man opera.
Well, you know, this is a really interesting point because I think in a lot of people's minds, opera is the huge sets, huge stages, huge theater, you know, 3 hours long, you yes. know, very classical. But there are new operas getting made, and yes. Pittsburgh Opera is producing them, and this is certainly a fine example of that.
Yeah.
Not your grandma's... opera by any stretch of the imagination.
No, it isn't. But I think even grandma probably had a time in her life where she lost love and, you know, had trouble going through that. And I think this is something that everyone is accessible to musically and emotionally. And it's something that I think every audience would be moved by.
Has it moved you?
Yes, every day. I mean, it is an emotionally exhausting piece to go into that space every day by yourself. But we have some of the most supportive cast and musicians helping the process along. So I think it's going to be something really exciting.
And this is going to be performed in a relatively intimate space as far as opera is concerned, down at the Pittsburgh Opera headquarters in close to the Strip District there.
Yep.
In the George White Opera Studio. So what's that experience, do you think, going to be like in, you know, having opera in such a condensed little arena like that?
I think there's sort of a stereotype about opera being this grand thing with white wigs and big costumes and big orchestras and big sets. And those operas are fantastic, and you should definitely come to those too. But there is something completely different and wonderfully intimate about this piece in this space. I couldn't imagine this piece on a big stage.
Yeah.
An audience member really should be not so farther away than you are to me, because there's just something about the connection the audience and the performer have that you want to be able to see every single thing that they're going through as if you were sitting right next to them. And I think that's a wonderful sort of break against tradition. And I think that's one of the wonderful things about this piece.
Right. Well, I think you were very brave in undertaking this. I mean, again, to sing for the solo pretty much for,
yep.
For what did we say, 70 minutes?
Yep.
Which is cool too. You know, a 70-minute opera for some people is a really good deal.
Exactly.
You
know? Yeah.
It's very economical time-wise.
Yes.
So you can, you know, go to dinner, go to this, and be home.
Yep.
In a reasonable amount of time. Now, speaking of being brave, we just off camera discussed briefly your the opening moment
yes.
of the. You know, theater is full of moments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just all moments strung together. Your the opening moment of Ashes and Snow is. Gripping?
Yeah, it is definitely gripping. It's definitely a little scary for me. You know, Ashes and Snow has some nudity in it. And
some nudity? Where do we draw the line?
I mean, I am fully naked.
For the first
for
beat
the
of
first
this.
Song. So the first song of the 24 songs.
Now, have you ever had to do that on stage before, be completely naked?
I don't
naked?
Even think I have been shirtless in a production, which is kind of weird. So yeah, I'm fully naked, and then I am just in underwear.
Like
basically.
It's there are nerves enough.
Yeah, I know.
With having to get out there, sing every note correctly,
yep,
do everything,
yep.
And then you got to be naked too.
And in the winter, I mean, there's lots of logistics going
so
on.
Did now were you aware of this when you auditioned?
Yeah, when I was sort of sold the show last year, the administration said, Eric, we really want you to do this world premiere next year. It's a one-man show. It's called Ashes and Snow. There is some nudity. And I was like, okay, we'll talk about that next year. And here we are, and we're doing it. So
singing naked in front of an audience, I think, is some people's like ultimate worst fear.
We dream about that.
Really?
If I didn't know the music and I was naked, it'd be like my worst nightmare.
Oh my God, well, how are you holding up? I mean, are you okay?
I think the thing is about this piece, it is so tied to the story and the emotions that it sort of, it passes you by as if, like, I couldn't imagine if he was clothed. I mean,
it transcends nudity.
Yes, absolutely. It's just so part.
That's going to be our review of it, by the way. This show
transcends nudity.
Transcends nudity.
Yeah, it's going to, I think it's a really powerful thing and just becomes so much more believable when people are at their lowest. They're not thinking like, how's my hair? Does my sweater look nice? They're just trying to survive. And
yeah.
I think that's the one of the main things about this piece. Will this guy maybe commit suicide and sort of have his ultimate rest, or will he just keep moving forward?
Yeah. Well, I'm thrilled you're surviving.
Yes.
Did you watch the Super Bowl yesterday?
I did. Crazy game.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. Go Eagles.
I caught the last bit of it, so I just needed
very
to know
exciting.
How it turned out. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually went to the movies.
Which
Super Bowl Sunday is a great time to go to the movies.
No one's
right.
Wow.
I saw that Fishman movie, The Shape of Water.
Oh, I haven't seen that yet.
Everybody was raving about it. And I love, you know, the classic films. So the sort of nod to the Creature from the Black Lagoon was pretty cool. So, you know, in all that free time you've got kicking around, you know, maybe consider seeing
it. I saw Call Me By Your Name, which is also very
That's
good.
On my list, too.
Fantastic. Please see it. Yeah.
Everybody's raving about that. And The Phantom Thread. And the one about the newspaper, The Post, with Meryl Streep and Tom Hanks.
I've heard that's amazing.
So, oh, and the three billboards outside of some place.
Yeah.
Those are on my list. There's so many good movies
so
that
many.
We can see when we're not seeing opera.
Yes.
I love we got a little off track there. Eric, we wish you all the best. Break a leg. And we will be looking forward to Ashes and Snow opening February 17th through the 25th. Hang in there, buddy.
Thank you so much.
We're looking forward to it.
Sounds good.
Indeed. As always, thank you for listening, ladies and gentlemen. Be sure to watch our video portion of this segment and more at bergvivant.com. We'll see you here next week on Berg Vivant, Pittsburgh's late night talk show.